Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, cause Daryl's dead. Welcome back, everybody. Not yet. But soon. Nah, I don't have any evidence to back that up. Joining me as always is Benjamin Orr.
Howdy, howdy.
For another rousing episode of The Chewing Dead. This week's episode was called, I don't know, generic one-word title, part five.
Forget.
Thanks. Forget. I wish I could forget these terrible titles. Oh, wait, I did, because it's really easy. Forget, remember, quest, conquer, fart, sniff. I don't remember.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, no, that one I would remember. That'd be easy to remember. I'd be like, boy, that title seems really cumbersome.
But, true.
But like these are just like I can't recall what any of these are. So, but anyways, this week's episode was sort of more of a continuation of last week's episode. The episode opens with Sasha clearly suffering from PTSD, from post-traumatic stress disorder. She's hearing voices. She's taking the family photos out of the house that she's sleeping in. She uses them for target practice. And then after she's done shooting them, she challenges the zombies. She's like, come and get me or something like that. Did I hear that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I thought was weird. I was like, you very clearly are having some issues. But it was nice to kind of get a little more of her, because I think she is an interesting character and she can be fascinating at times. Let's see. So that's how the show opens. Again, it's just a continuation of Alexandria. Deanna throws a party. Everybody's uncomfortable. Well, everybody's uncomfortable except for Abraham after he's drunk.
Drunk Abraham
is amazing. I'm a big fan of Drunk Abraham. I also, based on his scene with Michonne, I kind of wonder if there isn't going to be a romance between Abraham and Michonne. I feel like he was flirting with her a little bit. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. It was a very small scene and moment. Something that did happen that I'd like to talk about right away that really caught me off guard was last week we met Aiden, who is Deanna's son. I assumed that he was filling the role of Spencer from the comics, because in the comic book, Spencer is Deanna's son. Well, we find out in this episode that they have two sons, and Spencer is also her son. And Ben, as someone who reads the comics, I was aghast. And I was also aghast that all of a sudden we met Deanna's husband, Reg. I was like, what is happening? So anyways, we got a whole bunch of new characters thrown into the mix. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, I thought it was interesting how, and like you mentioned before in previous episodes, how they keep alluding to the wolves, because we keep seeing W's carved in things, like when Rick, Daryl, and Carol are outside of Alexandria and they're at that house where Rick had planted the now gone pistol, and they're talking about that, and they're killing some walkers, and the one falls down and has his W carved into its head. And they're just like, well, what does that mean? And you and I, Lou, both believe that it has something to do with these wolf people.
Yeah, I've heard nerds online say that it's actually an M for Morgan. First of all, that doesn't make sense, because are you trying to tell me that Morgan cut off all of the limbs of those things, shoved them into a little truck at the beginning of season 5, at the beginning of the back half of season 5? That would also mean that he was like out in front of them. Which it just doesn't make sense. So it's a W, I assure you. I feel like the wolves is we're gonna get that. We're gonna find out what those W's are before this season is over. So
speaking of Morgan, I don't know if you caught this, but near the end of the episode when Rick's like walking, and he's just going down different streets and he sees Jesse and Pete. And he just walked by and he waves. He crosses the street and it's named Morgan Street.
I did see that, actually.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch.
Which maybe that's saying Morgan's going to be back in the next episodes. He would have to be.
Yeah, he's got to be coming here soon. So I would imagine he's on his way.
I think it's interesting that As soon as Sasha volunteers to go on the guard duty for the tower thing, which Deanna is like, no, we don't need that. Spencer does that kind of time, but we don't have a full-time person doing that. That Deanna just kind of shuts that conversation down. And where Rick and Maggie, they're all kind of like vouching for Sasha. And I kind of don't get why. I guess Deanna's very against it because if, I don't know, maybe if I was in that position, I would see that maybe, well, this person, as in Sasha, needs time to gather her thoughts, recuperate. And I understand that human interaction is a big part of that, to try and bring them back, and that too much time alone can be a bad thing. But I feel with, like, the people she's lost, that she has nobody really left. And she's still kind of very cold to everybody else. Something that we haven't really seen from her. And I think it's very nice that we've seen Sasha grow as a character from somebody who was just like, oh, well, yeah, she's going to die from just some random zombie, to she's becoming a stronger main character here. And I think that's a very interesting evolution we've seen from her, because looking at some of the characters we've had before, never really evolved into much, but now we're getting to the point where every character has a certain role they play, and they're just not going to be wasted. I even feel a kind of way with Noah. I feel like Noah even has a certain bit of a role. And while it might not be as important as other characters, it's still vital in some way, shape, or form.
It's interesting to me that that's how you took the Deanna being opposed to having Sasha in the tower. I never thought that it had anything to do with Sasha. I think that Deanna doesn't want someone in the tower for a very specific reason. I think that Deanna's holding something back, and I think that there's a reason why they're not keeping somebody. Because why would you have a gun mounted up there, ready to go, but then never have anybody up there? There's got to be a specific reason for that. And Deanna was very, very insistent on not letting her go up there. And I imagine that it has something to do with the wolves, or maybe even with dare we say the N-word. Negan. I'm trying to not say it as much because I don't think he's coming yet. But again, I think it's interesting that you took it that way, because it definitely could be viewed that way, where it's because Sasha very clearly is having a hard time, Deanna doesn't want her going up there. I took it as Deanna doesn't want anybody up there, whether it's Sasha or Spencer, Rick. She doesn't want anybody up there. So interesting. Maybe they're trying to trick us. Maybe it's neither. Maybe that tower just has termites. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah, it was an interesting episode. Let's play everybody's favorite news shoe game. Love, hate, like, or is it hate, love, like?
It's love, hate, like.
Okay, good. Ben, you have the floor.
The one thing I really loved from this episode was, I don't know if you're going to have the same thing, but just Carol. Holy shit. She goes into, I guess it's like a storage unit place they have, where all the guns and everything are, and she's going to get some, because she was telling Rick, I don't stand out, I'm just, an innocent housewife who doesn't know anything, and I can't fire a gun, and I don't know how to do this and that. And she goes there under the premise of that, thinking, well, I'm going to get these guns so we can defend ourselves. And she sees one of Jesse's boys. I can't remember what his name is.
Sam, the little one.
Sam, yes. And she's like, well, just pretend you didn't see anything. He's like, well, I have to tell my mom. And she threatens him in the most bone-chilling way. And I'm just like, holy shit, that's scary.
Well, now let's... Because I think that they chose the wording she used very carefully. I don't think that she was directly threatening him, because at no point did I catch her saying, I'm going to, we are going to, I'm – she never said, I'm going to do any of this. She was like, if you tell, one day you might wake up far away from here. Like, everything was about, like, it was just to scare the kid. She at no point said, I'm going to take you – far away. And I think that there's a specific reason for her choosing that wording. And I think it's so that if he does tell Jesse and Jesse comes back, she can just be like, oh, I never, that never happened. I never did any of that.
Well, I never said that it was an explicit threat, but it definitely was something that saying, if you do this, things will not turn out the way that you want them to.
It was,
you
know, besides, it was an intense moment, though. That was an intense scene.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that, like every other character in the show, Carol has really come around to being somebody that can stand her ground, and I think Melissa McBride does a very, very wonderful job at portraying that, and just that it was just scary. It was terrifying seeing her just talk to him that way. I'm just like, holy crap, I would not want to be that kid right now.
It's interesting that that is what you loved. I loved that moment, but there's something from that scene which is my hate from this week, so I'll get to that in a second. The scene that I loved was the moment that we first saw Buttons the horse. Here's why. This is a sick, twisted one, Ben. The moment that I saw Buttons the horse, Ben, I went, that horse is going to die. Because horse track records on The Walking Dead are, like, their survival rate is 0%. So so there's Daryl and Aaron. Actually, all of the Daryl and Aaron stuff I loved. Like, anything where those two were together, I was on board 100%. But the moment that we first saw Buttons and I was like, they're going to try to catch that horse, I was like, that horse is absolutely going to die. And sure enough, so the reason I loved it is because I was fucking right. Rest in peace, Buttons. All right, that's good. So that's what I loved. But so I breezed over that because I would like to talk about something that I hated because it ties into what you loved. So I breezed through Buttons. I hated that Carol took the piece of chocolate. Here's why I hate that. She knows damn well that that fat lady, whose name I can't remember now, she knows that she has inventory of that chocolate because she specifically told Carol earlier in the episode that she could take a little bit to make the cookies. So when Carol took another chunk when she went in there for the guns, I hate that because it's like they're intentionally seeking out conflict. Like, it's a cheap, you know, as a writer, it's a cheap writing choice. Like, there was a stronger choice there than her just taking the chocolate while she was in there for the guns. Because now they're going to get caught for sure. And there's no surprise about it. Like, you know, even if the little kid tells, the fat girl's going to know that the chocolate is gone before he can tell his mom. And I hated that.
You know, I don't see it that way because, yeah, she's going to know that the chocolate is gone. But there's no evidence linking it to Carol unless the kid would admit
it. Well, no, it's linked to Carol because Carol was the only one who took chocolate out of the thing that day.
Yeah, but that doesn't prove the fact that she took it later. That doesn't prove it, though. That does not prove it at all.
I didn't like it. There was a stronger choice there, Ben. Come on. As a writer, you know there was a stronger choice there.
I'm not saying there wasn't, but still, it's all circumstantial after that point, saying, oh, well, she's the last one to take it, so obviously she took it. That's like, I don't know. I feel like that's a really weak argument if they were to make that, because I feel like then you could just easily break that defense. But that's just me.
I just hated it. I didn't understand it. It immediately made me angry. I was like, wow, that's so cheap. That's such a cheap way to further the story and to create conflict. They're better than that. At least this year in season 5, they've been so good at it. And it just seemed like it was a cheap convention to create conflict. And so I hated it.
Fair enough. The one thing I hated, I've actually hated this for a while, but I think it really came into highlight this episode, was Glenn and Maggie, like, know each other anymore? Because there's this scene.
I don't think they do. No, I'm pretty sure that they're not friends.
At the party when Glenn starts talking to Noah and Maggie's with him. They don't talk to each other. They just talk to Noah.
Yeah.
And not since, fuck, I think the prison, have we really seen these two interact, except for when after Beth died. Other than that, do these two know each other? Are they complete strangers? They're fucking married, and it's like they don't even know who they don't even know each other.
That's a good one, Ben. Yeah.
I mean, I've hated that. Like, I feel like, especially in Maggie's case, after losing, you know, family on the farm, and then losing Herschel, and then losing Beth. Like, she would want to get closer to Glenn. I understand that maybe she wouldn't because of the fact that, well, what if she loses Glenn? I understand that, but at the same time, you need to have somebody to confide in. And if she can't confide in her husband, then what's the point of even being married? I don't know. That's a good one. That was kind of...
You know, what's interesting, Ben, is that we both picked really nitpicky things to hate this week. Like, since we started playing this game, we usually hate really big parts, like the storm or other things. And this week, we kind of got real nitpicky. So maybe this was an awesome episode, and that's all we could hate on was real nitpicky shit. What did you just like? What was something that you really liked? And
I liked when Aaron invited Daryl into their house for dinner, and Daryl was just fucking eating that spaghetti like he's never eaten a meal in his life before.
Yeah.
And I kind of like just laughed at that part because Eric's just looking at him, just kind of like trying not to laugh, and Aaron just has like completely serious, you know, like face on, and he's just like, don't laugh at him.
They're doing a really nice job creating Aaron as a really solid, likable character already. Just after three episodes, he's slowly becoming one of my favorite characters already. The thing that I liked was really just one moment, and it was the Rick kiss on the cheek to Jesse. Like, it was so, like, it was just so, it, like, when you really think about it, a kiss on the cheek is such an innocent gesture, and yet because the moment that you introduced those two together, there was obviously some sort of tension. That now by doing it, and after the way, you know, now you've met Pete, and Pete's kind of a douche. I can't really say that yet because we haven't really, like, they haven't really shown anything of him yet. He's just kind of a doofus or a dick a little bit. But, like, you don't really get the sense he's a bad guy. But, like, that kiss was loaded with so much, like, and then, oh, God, hold on, sidebar. I also kind of hated this, but not because of, like, the usual reasons. I hated when at the end of the episode Rick saw Jesse and Pete walking by and he lifted up his jacket like he was going to pull his gun out and shoot Pete. Because that was some bald Shane shit right there.
Yeah, I didn't really particularly care for that either. I'm just like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that was some bald Shane. By the way, we've talked about that on the show before, right? That there were two very separate Shanes. There was Shane with hair, and then there was bald Shane. Bald Shane was a bastard man. So that was a very bald Shane moment. Like, him seeing what he wanted and reaching for his gun. Thank God he put his jacket back and had some common sense. Like, God, can you imagine, like, the trajectory of the show would just spiral out of control if he just started capping people. Oh, God. But, yeah, so anyways. But I liked the kiss on the cheek because it was just a very, again, taken at face value, it's a very innocent thing. But because of where we are and what has happened so far, it's just filled with all this amazing tension and context. It was cool. It was a nice moment. And she was so into it. She wants her some Rick Grimes so bad.
Because you could tell when she was walking away, like, she was, like, smiling about it. Oh, like, yeah. You know she was into that. I think it's also interesting that going into those final scenes, before we see Rick wanting to pop a cap in Pete's ass, where they're out in the woods, Daryl and Carol again, and, you know, they're trying to hand each other guns, and Daryl's like, no, man, I don't need it. He goes, I don't want the gun. And Carol and Rick just kind of look at each other like, what happened? And you kind of wonder, with Aaron talking to Daryl about being the next, you know, guy to recruit people, if maybe it's starting to change Daryl a little bit in the fact that he's accepting what's around him. Because before, it's not that he didn't, but he was just very bullheaded about things. But now he's in an actual community with people that, you know, that might for the most part actually care about them. And I think he really believes in Aaron, because Aaron can tell that Daryl is somebody, as he says, can read people and tell whether or not they're a good judge of character. And I think that connection that Aaron made with Daryl really lit a fire in him to where, like, I've never had this connection with just not, you know, a person, but anybody that I could trust from when this happened on. Because when we first meet Daryl way back in, he's a thug. He wants to find Merle. And he changes over time, slowly adapting to the group. And I feel like with Carol, Rick, and maybe Glenn, he's warmed up a little bit. But I think with Aaron, it's kind of opened up a new thing in him to where he's like, well, maybe we don't have to be as hostile as we were.
I think that moment was important because it gives you another strong feeling for why Daryl is such a likable and, from, I mean, without even a doubt, the most popular character on the show, because he puts up this tough exterior, but at the end of the day, he'll do anything to keep the people he cares about safe. And I think that the reason that that was so important was that prior to the revelation that Aaron told Deanna not to give him a job because Aaron wanted him to be the new, you know, the new scout with him, I think that when Daryl has a role and feels like an important part of the group, that he softens up and he becomes a more enduring character. But when he feels like an outsider, the outcast, the redneck, you know, I think that you see him close off. And yeah, really good character development on Daryl. But you know what, man? Whenever that sort of shit happens, it always makes me nervous. Because, like, this episode was big for Daryl. Like, it broke down some serious barriers. Like, think about it. He's a redneck who grew up in the South. He probably doesn't, you know, he probably has some issues with gay people. And yet, you know, now a gay guy is offering him this opportunity and he's eating dinner with them. And, like, when you really take it and look at it piece by piece in this episode, oh, I just thought of something that I wanted to talk about, too. Did you think it was interesting that he made Aaron kill the horse? And I have a theory about this. Did you think that was interesting or unique at all?
I thought it was a little interesting because I feel like maybe he thought Aaron had more of a connection to it, but that's really it. I didn't really think much more of it.
See, and I got a little bit of that, but here's what I really thought was that Daryl was beginning during the course of their time chasing the horse to trust Aaron. Like he does Rick, like he does everybody in the group, where this person can carry themselves, you know, they can come with me when I go places, take care of themselves, all that sort of shit. But I think what he needed to know was, can this guy do what needs to be done when it comes time? Because when you think about Daryl and his relationships, like with when Dale died, Rick went to shoot him and Daryl said, no, man, I'll do it. You shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting all the time. And I think that was what that was, that moment with Aaron, was that was sort of not necessarily a callback, but like another nod to sort of like a new friendship. Like Daryl was saying, take care of this. You had a relationship to it, you know, and he wanted to make sure that Aaron could do what was necessary when it came down to it. Again, it was a really cool episode for Daryl. Another big step for why everybody likes him so much and why he's totally going to die at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's happening. It's going to come.
I don't know. And it's not, I mean, it makes me scared because he's kind of starting to make that full trajectory that is always the death march for characters on the show. The preview for next week makes me think, and we've talked about this before, and this is a huge comic spoiler. If you don't want to hear Lou's theory based on the comic books, plug your ears immediately or turn off the podcast. We're almost done anyways, but I want to talk about this with Ben, and we're going to do it on the air, God damn it, because this is our show.
Well, before we do, I want to talk about one more thing before we get into next week's episode. I kind of want to talk about, like, Rick's catharsis that he has at the very end. And it's interesting that he has this because when after the whole thing with him seeing, you know, Jesse and Pete walk by, he starts walking and he hears this pounding on the wall. And he knows damn well what it is. It's a walker outside pounding on the wall. And he just goes up to it, puts his hand on the wall, and just kind of like looks up and kind of just like almost breathes a sigh of relief. Because I feel like a lot of the concerns that Carol had, that Carl had, with him getting soft, I feel like that's a reminder to him that, you know, there is still a threat out there. And yeah, humans are a worse threat than walkers. But there's still that element of, this is why we're here. This is what we need to do. This is how we survive. Because of these walkers, we need to find shelter and group up and communicate with each other. And I think that's kind of him remembering that and not forgetting. Obviously, he's not going to forget all the things that have happened. But it's kind of him being like, okay, well, I need to snap back into reality. After this party, after being in Alexandria, I need to be there needs to be a reminder of why it is that I'm here. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, it's and the A stamp on the hand really fucked with me a little bit there for a while. I was like, oh, that's fitting.
Yeah, was it the Scarlet Letter?
Yeah, well, Scarlet Letter, and then they were in the A car, and then when Gareth and them came to the church, they painted an A on the side. I was like, this is really the season of A. All right, so there was a sneak peek for next week where Tara and Mullet Man are walking down, like they're walking by this warehouse, and King Mullet is telling her how everybody should be kissing his ass because he got them to Washington, D.C. And she's like, we got you to Washington, D.C. Don't get it twisted, asshole. And like through the whole thing, like through most of this show, Tara's always kind of defended Eugene. And in this one, she's kind of like saying, you're being a dick. Now, there's a very horrifying moment in the comic books where Eugene and Abraham are walking out together and Abraham catches a arrow through the eye socket and dies. I think that's going to happen to Tara here this week. I think she's going to be walking with Eugene and she's going to get the arrow through the eye. It just seems fitting because now if she's dead and there are people shooting at them, Eugene is going to piss his pants. He's not going to know what to do. Anyway,
yeah.
I saw that sneak peek, and that was almost instantly what I thought of. I was like, oh, well, I guess I know how Tara is going down.
Then again, that could be just one of those things where they're just fucking with us.
Yeah, they do that a lot, man. They do like to, especially me lately, they like to fuck with me, throw me off the scent. But, you know, so I'm gonna call that shot, Death Watch this week for Tara. So if you really like her, make peace with it just in case, because it might be the end of the road. She's really an ancillary character anyways. I mean, if she dies, we'll all move on and get over it. So same with Noah. He's probably going down too, but in the next couple episodes. So, you know, make peace with that, everybody.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. So. But, well, you can find us at The News Chew on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. Be sure to watch The Walking Dead on AMC on Sunday nights at whatever time it airs in your time zone. Be sure to order some delicious porcupine cookies. Ben, closing thoughts.
Be sure to listen to the show next week when we talk about the next episode called Spend.
I'm spent.